Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Kay Stahl, Assistant Professor of Literacy at New York University. She does research involving primary reading comprehension. Welcome, Dr. Stahl.
Hello, Betsy.
We're glad to have you. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in primary reading comprehension.
Well, I taught in classrooms, in public school classrooms, for about 26 years before entering academia. And I actually started in middle school and then went down to the elementary level and then really ended my career as a school teacher in the primary grades. And so I think because there was always an emphasis in the upper grades on informational text and content, that as I moved down to the lower grades, I wasn't really willing to give up that emphasis on content and disciplinary knowledge.
So in the piece that we're going to be talking about today in the Journal of Literacy Research, you examine a few different instructional methods called Picture Walks, KWL, DRTA, and all those are with informational texts. Can you tell us some about what each of those instructional methods are?
Okay, the Picture Walk is a, all three of them are ways of introducing text, and they can all be used in a small group setting for and before reading informational text. And so with a picture walk, the children would actually look through the pictures, make some predictions about what the text is likely to be about, and then they read the text, and there might be a discussion afterwards. With the KWL, the children would, the K stands for know, and they would anticipate, or they would say what they know about the topic, what they want to learn about the topic, and then after reading, they would talk about what they had learned from reading the piece of text and about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the directed reading thinking activity, the DRTA, is an activity where you'd briefly talk about the text beforehand, the children make some predictions, and then they read a few pages. You stop, you talk about those three pages, then you would do the same thing for the next section of text, and you would do that throughout the text, talking about it intermittently. And what's in common with all those is that there is talk about the text, the role of prior knowledge is important, and honoring what the children already know about the topic, and then making some predictions or anticipating what exactly is going to be in the text. And that's in common with all of those small group methods.
Yeah, and all have been had some fair amount of research on them. And what is it that in particular you're trying to understand with these types of instructional methods?
Well, I was trying to make sense out of whether for the different purposes, I expected that even though there were several of those aspects that they shared in common, whether there would be some differences in outcome either in, say, reading fluency related to doing that kind of each of those methods or on the science content, whether children would learn more or less science content related on which of those methods that you used or just general comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there were some commonalities, I was wondering that if you used each of those, would there be specific differences because the procedures were each very different?
Mm-hmm. And so what did you find? What do you?
Well, I did. What was interesting and, you know, to some degree, somewhat surprising, I did find that the directed reading thinking activity seemed to yield the best overall results. So when children had to, were stopped intermittently and were able to talk about the text intermittently, they really ended up learning more about the topic because these were all pieces of informational text. And the goal, of course, when you're reading an informational text is to learn the information in that text. And so the children learned more of that information, remembered more, when the DRTA was applied.
Interesting.
With the picture walk, there was a slight increase on the fluency development. You know, they were slightly more fluent in reading the text with the picture walk. But the DRTA was also very good with that. one of the KWL, I really expected that children would learn more content because it's a much more open-ended kind of approach, and children had much more opportunity to talk about the topics more broadly with KWL. But that was not really the case, that really the children gained greater knowledge with the DRTA. And I think that may have been, and the conclusion was that I think that the children at this age, and this was done, remember, with novice readers, with children in second grade.
Okay.
And I think that children at that age that are still developing their overall reading skills, some of those foundational skills, they really need that intermittent stopping, talking about it, scaffolding, being able to integrate the knowledge and particularly the conceptual information about the topic that's in the text with their existing prior knowledge about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really seemed to they needed that conversation in between, not just at the end of the book. And now the other good news was that all three approaches were equally effective in helping children develop conceptual vocabulary, for example, disciplinary vocabulary about these science topics. All three methods help children significantly increase the number of words and their degree of knowledge of some very specific content words related to the science topic.
All very important and interesting information. So a lot of the things you've already said, I think probably teachers and parents will, their ears will perk up and they'll glean some information. But do you have any other insights you might give to teachers or parents?
I guess one thing that I would say to teachers is how important, often I think science is, you know, the science content is often read whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really encourage the teachers to, whenever possible, to even conduct the reading of science content and informational books in a small group setting so as many children have as possible have the opportunity to discuss it and to bring that conversation in. And I think the element of conversation would be the advice that I would give to parents in that, you know, of course, reading to children, reading aloud to children, and children like not only stories, but children love informational texts and find informational texts very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage parents to read informational texts to their kids and to talk about those texts and to really make sure that they do have lots of conversation about it. So that would be the advice I would give to both parents and teachers.
And what fun to be able to sit down with your child and just go through the book and discuss the things you see around you all the time in nature and science.
Yes.
How about for the decision makers in our world, the principals and the policymakers who are maybe leading the curriculum within the school or the district or selecting a curriculum? What kind of recommendations would you make based on your research?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges for principals in a school is the schedule. And so often what I see happening in schools is that the schedule is so broken up throughout the day for teachers. And so I would recommend that principals really be wary of encouraging over compartmentalization and short blocks of time. You know, teachers really need longer blocks of time.
Mm-hmm.
They need to feel the freedom to integrate the subject areas, the science, social studies, with their literacy instruction, so that there's really that it's almost transparent, that line between teaching reading, writing, speaking, and science and social studies areas. And to do that kind of teaching, you really need extended blocks of time, which principals can help with.
Yeah. And policymakers?
I would have to say that so often I think in the primary grades, we tend to have an overemphasis on the foundational reading skills related to decoding and fluency. And I am certainly an advocate for systematic and explicit instruction in those areas. People who know me know that I'm a real reading person. But I would hope that policymakers would really be mindful of the need for an emphasis on conceptual vocabulary development and comprehension in the primary grades, and also funding for the development of more sensitive measures of comprehension and conceptual vocabulary in those primary grades.
Yes, yeah. Where do you see this topic going next? So what do we need to do next in the field, or what are you doing next in terms of reading comprehension?
Well, I think what's really interesting is in the development of comprehension, and because historically so much of the emphasis in the primary grades has been on decoding and alphabetics and phonological awareness and fluency, that I really think that there still is a lot to be learned about that transition for children in experiential learning and learning through real life experiences to making the transition to learning about the world through text.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that just issues around the development of comprehension, of reading comprehension, and how that takes place and how we as teachers can best facilitate that is an area that still requires a lot of research and development.
Yeah, we'll look forward to looking to your additional work in this topic.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Kay Stahl of New York University, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Betsy.
You can find Dr. Stahl's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 40, Issue 3. This podcast is now available from iTunes, as well as our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Stahl. Join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, pose questions to those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.